Well, if you guys got your Bibles, I want to talk to you on the subject that I believe that God laid on my heart. And as you're turning over there, we're going to turn over to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. And as you turn there, I also want to take a moment to thank our lead pastor, Pastor Jan. He is away, but I'll tell you right now, he would much rather be here with you guys. He hates flying. He hates it, so he'd much rather be here with you guys. I'm blessed by that man. He is one of the most loving people I've ever met. And I so love serving under a pastor that loves people and loves God. That loves God, amen. All right, are you there? Are you ready? It says this in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. I'm just going to read part A of it. It says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." Let me say it again. "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." I also want to read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. It says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought." Someone say every thought. Somebody say every thought. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This morning, I want to share from you from the Word and what I believe God put on my heart. And we're going to title this conversation "Gray Matter." Gray matter. If you guys don't know what gray matter is, it's your brain. It's the way that you think. Gray matter. Father, we love you. We're grateful. We're just in a place of thankfulness in this season. Thankful for what you're doing. Thankful for what you're going to do. And most importantly, Lord, we're thankful for what you've already done. Lord, that you already gave. And we just thank you, Lord, as we get ready this morning, that my wife does not pop. She's super pregnant. Lord, let her hold off in the name of Jesus until at least after the game tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Think I'm playing. Oh, man. I told Isabel, I was like, you could pop at 11 p.m. That'd be perfect. My wife isn't here this morning. She's at home with my daughter. She's sick. I'm kind of bummed about it, but she's doing okay. So I got the privilege of waking up every hour last night. Anybody ever had a sick kid before? Oh, is there anything worse than a sick kid? Oh, man. My daughter, she just woke up every hour crying. You know, have you guys ever just had the kid that just wakes up crying? You're like, oh my gosh. Take me, Lord. Not my daughter. Amen. Oh, man. So I recently got the opportunity, a couple months back, I called up my brothers. I have two twin brothers. Their names are Ben and Matt. They're awesome. I love my twin brothers. I also have another brother, a brother named Johnny. He's down in Arizona. So Johnny didn't go with us to this event, but I recently called up my brothers a couple months back and said, "Hey, you know, it'd be really cool, before my son comes and all my funds go away, you know, all my money." You guys know what it's like to have kids, right? I was like, "Before all the kids take all my money, how about we go see a Seahawks game? You want to go see a Seahawks game?" And they're like, "Heck yeah, let's go see a Seahawks game." And so I went online and I started looking, and the tickets were very expensive, super expensive, like ridiculously expensive. I found out recently that I think it's like the second most expensive tickets in the NFL. They're stupid. It's stupid. And so I'm looking through all these different tickets, looking at the different price ranges and stuff. And so whenever you kind of get into something, you're like looking into it, you kind of get a little context around it. But people that aren't inside of the context don't really get where you're coming from. And so I looked, and I was like, you know what would be really cool? If we went and saw the Seahawks against the Falcons, Monday night game. Guys, it would be great. And I'm looking at it, and it's like tickets are like $900 for some seats. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't afford that. And I'm like, oh, a reasonable price. I found some for $400. Reasonable. Reasonable. And so I told Isabel, I was like, hey, I'm going to buy some tickets. I'm going to go buy some Seahawks tickets. And she said, well, how much you thinking? And I was like, oh, I kind of want to go a little bit bigger, baby. A little bigger. Just a little bit bigger. And she said, oh my gosh, do you want to spend like $200? No, I don't want to spend $200. I want to spend a little more. So I told her in her eyes, pupils completely gone. Like just, she lost her pupils. So, but I was like, baby, listen. This is good compared. You know what I mean? Like it's a decent price. And so it seemed like she was okay. And husbands, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, I think I won't get in too much trouble. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm just going to kind of go for it and ride that train. You know what I mean? See how it goes. And so I was just about to buy the tickets, and I did one of these little numbers. Isabel, I'm going to buy this real quick. It's just, well, how much is it? So it ended up being, you know, with taxes and everything, $400. And she, like, lit into me. She's like, what? We're having a baby! So, needless to say, I called my brothers and I was like, listen, guys, I made a decision. I have a kid coming, can't spend that much. I made a decision. They laughed, they rolled their eyes. Which, by the way, they're both doing very well. They should have just bought me the tickets. Whatever. And so, I went looking for like the cheapest tickets. And so, I was like, hey guys, this is what I could do. And they're like, okay, cool, whatever. We'll have a good time. We'll have fun. It'll be a blast. And so the cheapest tickets I could find were $150. $150. And so I went to go buy them and they popped up and it said, okay, section 300, row SR. I was like, SR? That must be really far. So I'm like, hey guys, I got the cheapest tickets. We're good. You know, it was only this much. Like, great. Where are we sitting? And I was like, row SR. Where's row SR? I was like, I don't know, but the cheap. So we're going. So I get the confirmation in my email box. I open it up and it says section 300, row standing room only. What? Standing room? I just spent over $100 to stand? Are you kidding me? Come on, Lord. And so I see that. That's the beginning of the story. I'm like, no, I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to choose to have a good attitude about this. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be with my brothers. We're going to have a blast. And so we start heading that way the day of the game, and we get parked, and we start walking up there, And then we get to the section, and I've had people tell me before, listen, all you gotta do, you can sneak into the hawk's nest. It's no big deal. Just sneak in. So I'm like, okay, guys. So I'm telling my brothers, hey, don't worry, guys. We're gonna have a good time, all right? We're gonna sneak into the hawk's nest. We get there. They have security. They don't let me into the hawk's nest. So I'm like, it's okay. I'm gonna have a good attitude. I want to be here. I pay good money to be here. I want to be here. And so we start walking up and up and up and up. And the players keep getting smaller, smaller, smaller. I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to have a good attitude. It's no big deal. We get up there. And I was like, okay, where's this section? And they bring me over. They're like, okay, here's your seats. Where are the seats? What are you talking about? Like, it's right here. They spray painted the concrete. And they say, you stand here. Don't move, because this is an aisleway. You stand here. Okay, I want to be here. I'm going to have a good attitude. So I'm looking at my brothers. Let's just laugh this off. Ha, 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 ha.
We didn't overpay for this.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to have a good attitude. Have you guys ever just had thoughts start coming into your mind and you're like, no. I want to be here. I want to do this thing. But everything kind of just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up. And then finally it was the final straw. The way they have this set up is there's this disabled section right here, then there's a walkway, and then you're against this wall, and that's where they spray paint it. I'm like, it's okay, we'll be able to see. And then, here they come. This group of 6 foot plus men. Like 300 pounds each. I'm like, they're not disabled, keep walking. They're walking fine. Keep moving. And they like look at us and they're like, you're not going to see anything. What? And they stand there. Literally, they are so big, I can't even see the Jumbotron. I legit almost cried. I'm not going to have a good time. I'm going to stand here and miss everything. I literally had to like look through their butt cheeks. To see any of the game. Like, go, Doug, go! Did you see it through your butt cheeks? Did you see it? Did he make it? I didn't see very much, so apparently we lost, but it all ended up working out. A different group came along, and then they actually ended up moving, so I could actually see the game. It ended up working out. We had a great time, but have you guys ever had just thoughts bombard you? Where you're just constantly like, they come in, you're like, nope. No, okay, nope. I'm going to have a good time. Nope. I'm here. I want to be here. Nope. I paid a lot of good money. There's this kind of flow, if you will, to our lives. And it looks like this is a thought comes in. A thought comes in and we get to choose whether we meditate on it. And then from the meditation on the thought is how we now act. The way I look at it is I look at mind, heart, hand. A thought comes into our mind and we choose whether or not we allow our hearts to dwell on it. And as we let our heart dwell on it, we begin to act on it. As a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As a man thinketh, so he is. Our thoughts are so important. Our thoughts are so crucial to our lives. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a violent battle in your mind. There is a violent battle going on in your life 24 hours a day. It's the battle of the mind. It's constant. I woke up last night because I told you my daughter was under the weather, so she woke up at 11, 1, 2, 2:45, 3:15, so on and so on. And at the 3:45 mark when she woke up that time, my brain was officially awake. And then my mind just started racing. You guys have those nights, those anxiety nights where you're just like, you're thinking about everything. You're thinking about everything that happened the day before and everything that's coming up. You're thinking about what you said and how you should have said it. You begin to think about areas of your life that aren't going the way that you wanted. Maybe you're thinking about relationships in your life that aren't going the way that you wanted them to go. There's a violent battle in our minds constantly, constantly. And the reason for this is because your mind is your greatest asset. The way that we think, it starts there. It's our protection for our heart. No, I'm not gonna let that happen. No, I'm not gonna dwell on that. It's our protection. It's our filter for our heart. You know, you'll see people act on something, and they're like, where did that come from? I promise you that that's been dwelling for a very long time. I promise. That's just how life is. That we think, we meditate, and then we act. We think, we meditate, we act. It's It's so important because whatever gets your mind, whatever owns your mind, whatever holds your thoughts, whatever holds your attention, it owns you. Whatever captivates your thoughts is what captivates you. It's crucial. It's crucial. We think about what we're thinking about. We ponder what's going on in our minds. It's imperative for the quality of our lives. What are we thinking about? What are we thinking about? Thought, meditation, action. Head, heart, hand. Your hand does something because you allowed something to drop into your heart. That's how it works. And we have to. We don't have the choice. We have to protect our minds. We have to protect what we allow our minds to dwell on. We have to. We have to. I'm going to say kind of a harsh statement, but I want you to know that I say it in love. I think the reason that we have so many ineffective Christians today is because they don't know how to fight the battle in their mind. I think the reason that we have so many people that are ineffective in the body of Christ, ineffective in their workplace to show love, ineffective in their home to show their children what it looks like to be in a loving marriage, to what it looks like to have healthy conflict, what it looks like is because we don't control our minds. We don't control what we allow to produce out of us. So that's the flow. We know the flow. It starts here, meditates here, and then it ends here in our hands. Head, heart, hands. Head, heart, hands. So what I want to do is give you guys just a couple little thoughts, a couple little points about how we live, how we react with this. So the first thing is this, is we need to control the response. We need to control the response. There's this man named Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl. And he's a very well-known psychologist. And his claim to, not claim to fame, but one of the things he's known for is he's a Holocaust concentration camp survivor. He was a very young boy at the time. And he went through something so horrific that we can't even, many of us, we can't even ascertain what went through there. And we would assume, like, what kind of quality of life could you have in a concentration camp? What kind of quality of life could you have after the Holocaust? Where people, everyone that you know, people that you held dear to you, were enslaved, were murdered, were horribly tortured. And this man, he actually writes a book, and he titles it, what did he title it? It was something good. Super good. Oh, The Search for Meaning. The Search for Meaning. The Search for Meaning. And he actually talks about quality of life. He talks about finding meaning and purpose in life. And he actually makes this crazy statement that he said he had a fulfilled life. He chose to have even a fulfilled life in the concentration camp. What? He said that he had contentment even inside of that realm. He made a couple profound statements. One was this. When we are no longer able to change our situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. When we are no longer able to change our situations, we are challenged to change ourselves. You can't control events. You can't control circumstances. You can't control what's done to you. You can't control that people talked about you. You can't control that you got fired from that job. You can't control everything that happens to you. We can't control the events of circumstances of life, but we can control the response to it. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control what happens from there. What we decide to do, we can control that part of our lives. He also says this. He says, between any events and response, there's this space. Between an event and a response, here's this little space. In that space is our power to choose a response. And in our responses lies our growth and our freedom. We can't always choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we respond to it. We could choose that when, like that late night, I'm sure I'm not the only one that lies awake in bed just pondering. Anybody else have a hard time just shutting down? Anybody else have a hard time just controlling the thoughts in your brain as the lights go dim and it gets silent and then all of a sudden it starts to pick up. Ooh-hoo-hoo. And you're trying everything inside of you to stop. But the ironic thing is the harder that we try, the more that it goes, isn't it? It's almost like there's this kids game that we used to play. I can't remember how they titled it, but it was basically, if you thought about the game, you lost. Anybody remember what that game was called? What is it called? It's just called You Lost the Game. Oh, you lost the game. It's like, what? And if you thought about it, you lost the game. You know, and then all you can think about is losing the game. All you can think about is that dumb game where it's like, I can't stop thinking about it. I'm trying my hardest, but I can't stop thinking about it. I remember being in I found out about it in junior high and being so irritated. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? You lost. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to mess some people up. You know what I mean? I hate not knowing what's going on. Well, that's kind of how it is with our minds as we lay down at night, that it's like, dude, I can't stop thinking about this. Because we don't have control of our minds. We don't have control of our thoughts. We don't choose to, at least, is what I mean by that. We don't choose to allow our minds to be the gatekeeper for our hearts. We don't choose it. In between an event and a response, there's right here the thought. In between an event and a response, there's this space. We can choose what we do in the space. You need to control the response. You need to control the response. The next thing is this, is we need to know the triggers. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. It says this, I want to refer back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. When I say we need to know the triggers, what I mean by that are there are certain things that will set us off. We need to know us. We need to know what we're struggling with. Areas of anxiety, maybe areas of depression, maybe areas of lust. Whatever your struggle is, you need to know what you're struggling with. You need to know what triggers that in you. You need to know that, oh man, I wish I wasn't like this, but dude, I really, really, really like food. Like a lot. As a matter of fact, I know how much I like food because the more often that I barely ever wear this jacket. The only time I wear it is like on a Sunday morning when I'm preaching. And so there's like these gaps, right? And it's like in between these spaces of time, the button starting to space out too. I know how long it's been since I preached. I can measure. I'm like, well, about 2 inches. It's been about 4 months. Oh, man, I love you and I love food. You know what I mean? Well, so this is my trigger. When I'm trying to eat well, when I'm trying to do better, when I'm trying to not go to fast food, all I see is fast food. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you're struggling with somebody, it just seems like all you see is their post on Facebook. You know what I mean? Whatever you're struggling with, man, that's all you see. Like, oh my gosh. Like, get out of here. So I'll drive by and I'll curse Jack in the Box. Curse you! With your delicious buttery Jack. It's like, what's the fattest thing they could do? Let's throw some butter on it. This bun, needs butter. Like, I totally agree, but stop it. Just not cool. Any fat guys? Hello. Come on, come on. Tell the truth. When was the last time you had a buttery Jack? Come on. Come on. All right, there's a little brave hand over there. Yes, I had it on the way to church. They're open 24 hours, any part of the menu. 9 a.m., buttery Jack. Praise the Lord. Oh, gluttony. Anyways. But that's it, man. I know my triggers. I know things that set me off. I know things that I need to avoid. I know those areas. And one of the strongest things that we could do is, like I referred to earlier, is we need to start thinking about what we're thinking about. We need to just start taking a step back. Like, whew, what is that? What is that about? I think we'd have a lot more mentally healthy people if we just started thinking about what we're thinking about instead of allowing just our whatever's coming through, like that's what's in control. I hate getting hit in the face. I hate it. I hate it. Like the worst. Me and Isabel's first fight, she slapped me in the face. It wasn't even like a mean slap. It was just like, you silly. I'm not a silly. In my defense, we started dating when I was like 15, so I was but a child, okay? Pastor Mike's not in control of himself. Come on, buddy. Come on. She slapped me in my face. Whoa! I was so mad. And now I have a little daughter. Her name's Aria. She's amazing. Her favorite activity in the whole world, slapping me in the face. She loves to slap me in the face. I'm holding her. Hey, baby. Hi, ta-ta. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm going to go play with my dolls. It was really recently. Picked her up. She slapped me across the face. And I was like, Aria, we don't slap. And I'm trying not to laugh because it was like she like swung back. Like she cold cut, bam! And I was like, Aria, we don't slap. She looked at me, she said, ah! Slapped me again. Dude, I almost lost it. She hit me in my eye and like popped. It made like a pop noise. Like, what? It's pretty funny. And so I look at her, I said, Aria, if you hit me again, you're going into timeout. Hata! All right, you're going to timeout now. It was so funny. But I had to think about, like, why would that... It didn't make me mad when my daughter did it. It made me mad when Isabel did it. And I have to, like, kind of think about that. Why would that be like that? And I found out it was more rooted in this insecurity of respect. Like, I felt like it's this disrespectful thing. You know what I mean? And to respond to my daughter would be like, oh, my gosh, she does not respect me. Like, that's just stupid, right? But I have to kind of take a step back and think about what I'm thinking about. Why would that cause that reaction in me? Why would that matter to me? Why does it matter when somebody doesn't like what I decide to do? Why does it matter when somebody second guesses a decision that I make? Why does it matter that somebody comments on something that I said? Why does it matter to me? And I have to think about, well, what's that about in me? And that's what a healthy, mature Christian looks like. That we could take a step back with Christ and say, hey, God, I don't know what this is about. Can you help me? God, I don't know what this is. I don't know why I'm getting so mad at my wife over this. Can you help me? I don't know why I'm responding in this way. Can you just be here with me? I don't know why I'm doing this. But I know this is what triggers me. I know what happens to me when this happens. Lord, I just, can you help me? Can you help me see why I would respond in this way? Can you help me see why this matters to me so much? One of the best things that you could do in any situation, if you feel something rise up in you, just take a minute, step back, and be curious about what rose up in you. Whew. I noticed that this happened. Why did I get so sad about it? Why did I get so mad about it?
Why am I afraid of confrontation? You know what I mean? And just bring God into that. Bring his presence. I don't get it. Should I be, according to your word, shouldn't I be more secure in myself? Shouldn't I know who I am in Christ? Shouldn't I know that you were also persecuted? Shouldn't I already know, Father, help me? Because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be everything that my mind thinks. Lord, help me bring every thought into captivity. Lord, help me bring this into submission. Father, I need you next to me, helping me bring this into submission. I need your help, Lord. We know what we struggle with. We know what brings up for us anxiety, stress, fear, lust. We know what brings this stuff up for us. Can I give you a helpful hint? Recently, I kind of been dogging on Facebook a decent amount. I deleted it. I reinstalled it, but I deleted it for a season. And the reason was because I could see that, like, when I'm searching through it, that I was starting to get angry. And to the point where, like, I wasn't able to control it. Like I wasn't in control of my anger. I was like, whew, maybe this isn't for me right now. Like, whew. And people are like, well, you need to be well informed. No, you don't. You need to know what's happening. Sometimes, but not all of this. I don't need to know all of this. I remember there's this one particular one. I got mad at Isabel for showing it to me. It was this kid that was, it was like they were put in something and they were left unattended. It was like in a pool and the kid flipped over. That was like the most horrifying thing I've ever seen. Because all you think about is your kid. Like, that's all I think about. And I was like, I don't want to see this. Like, I don't want to see this. Now, did that happen? Absolutely. And are there times that we do need to be well informed? Absolutely. But you also need to know you. If you're full of fear, turn off CNN and Fox News. If you're constantly full of anxiety about North Korea bombing us, you need to turn that stuff off. But you need to turn it off. What's the difference between that and the other? A bunch of stress and anxiety in between. Now, I do think we need to be informed sometimes, but you need to know yourself. What are you feeding? Are you feeding something in you so that you can make a difference and a change? Or are you just feeding a bunch of fear and anxiety? What are you feeding? Know your triggers. Know you. We have to choose what we allow our hearts to meditate on. We have to choose it in our minds. That's not the word. And we know things that are good versus things that are bad that we allow our minds to meditate on. Here's a little clue. If it's contrary to the word, then it's not for your mind to be meditating on. If it's constant, let's just talk about gossip and disrespecting authority. If it's constantly that, it's probably something you shouldn't be meditating on because it's contrary to the word of God. Well, we need to talk about it. Bring it back to the word. You need to bring it back to you. And there are times, and this is when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about you as individuals. I'm talking about me as a person. I'm not talking about what you need to tell somebody else. People so upset about everybody else and what they're doing. It's like, this is what my mom told me all the time. We grew up in a very large family. I go, Mom, Matt did this. My mom and dad would always say the same thing. Mike, worry about yourself. Don't worry about them. Worry about you. Stupid. I got in trouble for it. We sound the same way, don't we? Well, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Worry about yourself. Worry about you. Worry about you. Bring every thought into captivity. And the final thing is this. To recap, we need to control the response. We need to know the triggers. And finally, we need to break the cycles. We need to break the cycles. There's some things in you that your parents put in you. And that maybe their parents put into you. And their parents. Gossip. That's just what we always did. As soon as we got out of the church, we got in the car, started driving home, we said everything that everybody else did, and it's just what we always did. We've always done it. Yeah, and guess what? Now your kids are going to do it because you're showing them what it looks like to be a man or a woman. You're showing them what it looks like to be a man or a woman. So this maybe poverty mindset that we grew up a certain way. Well, this is just how we grew up. Yeah, and then guess what? The way that you grow up, if you don't break the cycle, your kids will also be in that poverty mindset. Anger. My dad always got mad. Not my dad. Not you, Jeff. You're tight. I think he's asleep. Okay, he's waving. Nope. This is boring. My dad always got mad. That's just what men do. Men get mad. Men get mad. And then your son sees that same response. Like, that's what I do. Because men make men and women make women. That this generation that's coming up is looking to your example. To how we respond to things. This is what a man looks like. This is what a woman looks like. This is how they react. And we need to be more cognizant, like, looking, hey, that's not what I want to see in my life. It might have been a part of my family history, but that's not what I want to be in my life. And I don't want to pass it on to my kid. I don't want to pass, I know I talk about food all the time, but I legit think about that I struggle with food. That I'm not in control at times. And the way that I know I'm not in control, I think I have it in control, and then when I try to put it in control, then I know I don't have any control. You guys know what I'm talking about. I can get better anytime I want. Buttery, Jack. Maybe tomorrow. That's when I know I'm not in control. And so I have to actually think about this. Do I want that for my daughter and my son to be? Do I want that to be their testimony too, that they also struggled with this? Because they're seeing my example, and they're going to follow naturally in that example, unless they decide to break the cycle. So the things that I struggle with, I have to be cognizant. The things that you struggle with, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone that's seen, having these young people look up to you, the things that you struggle with, we're passing them down. The things that we struggle with, these insecurities, this anxiety, it's not just for you. It's for the next generation that we break those cycles. It's not just for us. It is for us, but it's also for the next. That they don't have to struggle with the same things that we struggle with. They don't have to struggle with these things. It says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. This is out of the NIV version. It says, "The day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death." Today, I've set before you life and death. And we know the difference. Flesh, spirit. We know the difference. Galatians chapter 5 gives a really good explanation. What's flesh and what's spirit. "Today I place before you life and death. Blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Today, choose life so that you and your children may live. The next generation, your descendants. It's not just about you. It's about all of these next generation coming up. They're looking to us. What's acceptable? What's good? Husbands, how do you talk about your wives? Wives, how do you talk about your husbands? You better believe that when I get to the point, which will be a very, very long time, when Ari gets to the point where she's getting married, you better believe I'm looking to the parents. How did you raise your son? How did you raise your son? Because that matters to me. He has to make a decision to be the man that he needs to be. But I see that too. How did you raise him? Because my daughter, I raised her super good. I put in my work. And I'm not going to let her just marry some joker. Okay? Elite. The best. I don't have guns. I got one, but I'm not going to shoot nobody. I'll threaten them by sitting on them. That's what's really scary. I will smother you to protect my daughter. We have to break the cycle. We have to break the cycle. We have to choose to be men and women of integrity before God and before this next generation. We have to choose to show them what it looks like to be a Christ follower. We have to choose. And the only way that we will ever get there is by realizing how much God loves us. By realizing how much He's already done for us. That He's already been the example of what it looks like to be a good parent. That He sacrificed. That He went above and beyond for us. That He already did it. And so we get a decision to take this thing, whatever it is, this weight of sin. I almost think of it like a bag of rocks. And just piling all the sin, the guilt, the shame, the insecurities, the gluttony. That one's really heavy. It's a big rock. Piling it all up and having this big weight and trying to drag it around all the time. From every place that we go, and you can see people with the weight. You can see how much weight that they're carrying. You could see how much they put on them. How much they're lugging every place that they go. How much condemnation they put on themselves. And this weight, this heaviness, this thing that's not for you, not for you to carry, not for you to bear. We hold on to it. This is mine. This is who I am. Take identity in it. This is who I am. And we carry it to our jobs. We carry it to our church. We carry it to our homes. And what's sad is what we're doing is we're taking it and we're giving it to our kids. Here, you carry this. Here, you know that stuff I've been struggling with? You carry it. You know where I fall short? Because I haven't taken every thought into captivity? Here, you take it. And we're putting it on our children. On the next generation. Because we don't realize how loved and special we are. How forgiven we are. How truly cherished we are. And we hold on to this. And we try to pass it to them. By the way that we behave, by the way that we react to situations. We say, hey, this is what a man does, this is what a woman does, this is what it looks like. And instead of breaking that cycle, we're bringing it to the next generation, we're handing it over to them. This is what it looks like. But what we need to do is take this and bring it to the cross. And lay it at the cross. This isn't me. This isn't who I am. I'm secure. I'm confident. I am loved. I am appreciated. I am known and fully loved. And I can bring it to the cross and say, God, you took this. Take this too. We have to break the cycle. There's so much at stake here. There's so much at stake. When we allow our minds just to do whatever they want. You are loved. You are known. You are special. You are more than enough. You are more than enough to be that guardian, that leader. You are amazing because of who God is and what He's done in us. Take every thought into captivity. Take every thought into submission. No, that is not who I am. I know who I am in Christ. That is not who I am. I am this, according to His word. This is who I am. There is a violent battle. There is a violent battle for your mind. Because from your mind comes your actions, your heart, what truly matters. And we get to choose. We get to choose each day to realize how much we're loved. Today, what I want to do is I want to pray for some people that are ready to break that cycle. I want to pray for some people, if you guys would stand up with me. I want to pray with some people that say, yes, this has been going on. I can look back at my parents and my grandparents. I can look at these tendencies that have come around and around. And I'm ready to break this cycle in my life. I'm ready to lay it at God's altar, at God's cross. I'm ready to lay it there, so that I can have a quality of life that God has already prepared for me. So that I could be in control. That I'm not dictated by fear. That I'm not dictated by resentment. That I'm not dictated by bitterness. That I'm not dictated by the lust of this flesh. That I'm not dictated by anger. That I'm not dictated by anything else but by who God is. And when these thoughts come to my mind, I know that these thoughts are not who I am. I know who I am according to His word. I know who I am according to what God has revealed in my spirit. I know who I am. So with every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, what I want to do is pray for some people that are ready to break those cycles, that are ready to say, no, that's not who I am any longer, and take a stand of pride and declaration of who they are in Christ. So with every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, I want to pray for that person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment between you and your Savior. God's presence is here in this place even now. He's already working on some of your hearts. You're already beginning to see those areas in your life. Say, I want to lay that at the altar. I'm tired of carrying it. I don't want it anymore. If that's you and you want prayer for it, I want to pray for you. Can you just raise your hand so I know who I'm talking to? Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. Anybody else? Just another moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If that's you, why don't you just come on up front? We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. No shame, no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We can make a decision today to break those cycles. Thank you, Jesus. That's Jesus. As they're getting lined up, I also want to take an opportunity. All of this comes from a relationship with Christ. All of this comes from being connected with Him. That it's not us and our goodness and our works. It's how good God is. How good He is. But all we have to do is accept Him. It says in Romans, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. Connected with your eternal Savior forever. So I want to give the opportunity also this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you as well. So as they're still getting lined up, if that's you, can you just raise your hand? If you've never made that decision or if you've fallen away, anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. I'm going to pray for these people. Can we worship just for a second? And if you guys are still out there, if you could pray with us too. I believe that we're family. that we could pray for each other, that we can love for each other. These are your brothers and sisters up here. That we care for them. We care for their health, for their integrity. We care for them, their eternal salvation. So why don't you just pray with us as we just continue just for another moment.
Thank you, Father.
God, you're the name above all names, Lord. You are worthy. You are with us, Father. And I pray as these amazing people leave this place, Lord, that they leave knowing that they are fully known and fully loved, Jesus. Lord, I pray as they leave this place that they know that they are engulfed by your love, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we can have the life of freedom that you've called for us, Lord, that we can bring every thought into captivity, that we don't have to believe the lies of the enemy, but can we believe your truths that you've spoken over our lives, Jesus, that we can believe who we are in you, Lord, and Father, that we can go out in confidence and be bold, that we can bring the gospel with boldness and freedom, that because we know how free we are, Lord, let us realize how free we are, that we're free from anxiety, free from anger, free from hate, free from quarreling, Lord, that we're free, Lord, in your name. In your name, Jesus. Let them be blessed, Lord, as they leave this place. Let them be blessed, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, as they go eat lunch, go home, Lord, let them just have a breath of refresh, Lord. Let them be refreshed. Let them feel that this weight is no longer on them, but been laid at your cross. Let them breathe. Father, let them breathe easy. Because we know that you got it. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being a part of our church, our home. We love you guys. And if you got kids, go get them, okay? I do kids' church.